Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 8th Chapter, Text 38. Vayam Namarupabhyam Yadubi Saha Pandava Bhavata Adarshanam Yarhi Rishikanam Iva Isitu Kevayam Namarupabhyam Kevayam Namarupabhyam Yadubi Sahapandava Yadubi Sahapandava Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi Rishikanam Ivesitu Rishikanam Ivesitu Kevayam Namarupabhyam Yadubi Sahapandava Bhavato Darshanam Yarhi Rishikanam Ivesitu Rupabhyam Rupabhyam Vaishnavis. Namarupabhyam, without fame and ability, Yadubi, with the Yadus, Saha, along with, Pandava, and the Pandavas, Bhavata, your, Adarshanam, absence, Yarhi, as if, Rishikanam, of the senses. Eva, like. EC2, of the living being. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As the name and fame of a particular body is finished with the disappearance of the living spirit, similarly, if you do not look upon us, all our fame and activities, along with the Pandavas and Yadus, will end at once. So this is Queen Kunti speaking, and we're moving on in her prayers, which I think are 25 verses. This is probably about the 20th. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Kunti Devi is quite aware that the existence of the Pandavas is due to Sri Krishna only. The Pandavas are undoubtedly well established in name and fame and are guided by the great King Yudhishthira, who is morality personified. And the Yadus are undoubtedly great allies. But without the guidance of Lord Krishna, all of them are non-entities, as much as the senses of the body are useless without the guidance of consciousness. No one should be proud of his prestige, power, fame, without being guided by the favor of the Supreme Lord. The living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord himself. We may therefore invent, by our advancement of material knowledge, all sorts of counteracting material resources, but without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. Om Aginatamananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudevena Maha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakaramayam Dharati Swaparanti Kam. So, so the longest connecting, continuous roadway system in the world is the Pan American Highway. It actually stretches for 30,000 miles. It starts up in northern Alaska, a place called Prudhoe Bay. Anybody ever heard of that? Prudhoe. Oh, somebody's heard of it. Prudhoe Bay. And it's probably just Eskimos up there. It's way up there in the northern part of Alaska. And it goes through, goes down to Fairbanks, Alaska, then Whitehorse, Edmonton, Canada, Calgary, Canada, Billings, Montana, Denver, Colorado, Albuquerque, New Mexico, San Antonio, Texas, Monterrey, Mexico, Mexico City, San Salvador, maybe that's in El Salvador, Panama City, Cali, that's Venezuela, Quito is Ecuador, Ecuador, Lima, Peru, Antofagasta, is that Chile? Valparaiso, Chile, Buenos Aires, that's Argentina, and Ushuaia, Argentina, right on the bottom of Argentina. That's the route. And it's a continuous roadway that goes for 30,000 miles. That's long, okay? It's the longest in the world. So let's say you were going to walk that. Let's say you just decided that you wanted to walk that whole route. You're going to start at the top there and right around this time of year. I was going to, yeah, you beat me to it. Don't let Bhakti Mark chew this class. He might get put some idea in his head. He's already gone across the United States about three times. So, but that would be a challenging for him, I bet. 30,000 miles. Now, you wouldn't expect to be doing that in one pair of shoes, most likely, right? I mean, that's 30,000 miles. Most people change their shoes every, say, 6 months. Say you walk 5 miles a day and you change your shoes in 6 months. So that's 5 times 180. That's 900. Let's call it 1,000. So you go through 30 pair of shoes to do this, you know, trip, that calculation. So in the same way, as an analogy here, we're on just like that's a journey, you know, and on that journey you got to expect you're going to use more than one pair of shoes. So in the same way, on the journey back to Godhead, you know, which we're on that journey back to Godhead. When you take to yoga, actually, Prabhupada says in chapter 6, text 3 of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, uh, The process of linking oneself with the Supreme is called yoga. It may be compared to a ladder for attaining the topmost spiritual realization. Okay, so a different metaphor, a different analogy. But he does say that it goes from, this ladder begins, or this journey begins, from the lowest material condition of the living entity and rises up to perfect self-realization and pure spiritual life. See, so that's the journey that we're on. We're going from the lowest, some of us anyway, some of us are plants. Lord Chaitanya's secret agency here, but some of us, we're going from the lowest material condition of the living entity, and we're trying to rise up to perfect self-realization and pure spiritual life. And, you know, maybe you can't expect to do that in one lifetime. Just like, as I said, there's an analogy here. Just like a shoe could be considered, you wear a shoe, okay? You wear a shoe. So it could be considered in that sense a garment, because it's something you wear, okay? So in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 22, Krishna says, Vasamsi janani yata vahaya, navani grinati naroparani, tata shirirani yata vahaya, anyani navati... Anyani samyati navani dehi. Okay, so just as a person puts on new garments, or shoes in this case, giving up the old and useless shoe, similarly, in the same way, the soul accepts a new material body and, you know, giving up the old and useless one. So the body's like a shoe. You know, a shoe is a garment, you wear it, and in that sense, the body's like a shoe. You wear it for a while, to, you know, it's something to help you get where you want to go. You see? And you use it until it's all used up, and then you get rid of it, and you get a new pair of shoes, or you get a new body. You see? And backing up a little bit in that chapter, if we go back to 2:13, Krishna says, Dehi nosman yata dehi komanam yavanam jara tata dehantara praptir diras tatra namuyate. And Krishna explains that a sober person, he's not bewildered by that. He's not bewildered by that process of, you know, changing the body. Because he has knowledge. He has a certain knowledge. Now, from the devotees who are here for 5 years or less, what is that knowledge? And I'll give you a hint, okay? It's Krishna explains what that understanding is that allows a person to be diras tatra namuyate in the verse preceding 2:13. In other words, in 2:12, 5 years or less now, for starters, who knows that the verse, 2:12, where Krishna states why a person is not bewildered by that change? 2:12. Well, the verse before that. Yeah, no, what is it about the soul? That, okay, do you know the verse, though? 2:12? Anybody know? Okay, we'll up the ante. How about 10 years or less? Anybody's been a devotee 10 years or less? Know that verse where Krishna says, huh? That's it. And what's the translation? I'll start you off. He got it. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of it cease to be. No, the soul is eternal. Nor all these kings, and nor in the future will any of it cease to be. So the soul is eternal. And because a devotee knows, because Krishna gives him the knowledge that we're eternal, the soul is eternal, death to him is not a disaster. It's a disturbance. You know, undoubtedly it's a disturbance, but it's not a disaster. For the person in total ignorance, death is a disaster because it's the end of their existence. At least that's what they're thinking. In illusion and ignorance, they're thinking, this is the end, you know. Whereas devotee knows, it's not the end. I got to just change my shoes, you know. Does a sane, normal person get really upset about changing your shoes? I mean, when you have to go buy a new pair of shoes, is it a total traumatic experience? No, it's just, I got to buy a new pair of shoes. Just go buy another pair of shoes, you see? So in the same way. Now, since Prema got that verse, he wins the prize. See, so if you come to Bhagavatam class, sometimes you might win a prize. And this is a T-shirt that says just that. Never was there a time when I did not exist. So he wins the T-shirt. There you go. Yeah, so that's the point. Now, some of us, as I mentioned, there's some devotees who are in the category that I call there are plants. They're already there. They're already at the destination. They're agents of Lord Chaitanya, and actually, Prabhupada kind of confirmed this. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if the devotees who are fully engaged in devotional service, not only the associates that were there at the time of Lord Chaitanya who are considered Nitya Siddha, but any devotee who is fully dedicated to the mission and fully engaged in devotional service, it can be considered one of these Nitya Siddha associates of Lord Chaitanya. So that is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And of course, there's another occasion where Prabhupada, I heard this from devotees, I didn't hear it directly from Prabhupada, but well, actually, no, Prabhupada did say, you are all sent by my spiritual master. You're associates of my, not associates, but you are all sent by my spiritual master to assist me. And further understanding on that point was how that works is that Prabhupada, more than one lecture, but on a disappearance day lecture of a spiritual master, he related that anecdote about there was a sadhu, and he was giving out blessings. So when he met the brahmachari, he said, oh, you should die immediately. And when he met the brahmachari should die immediately, the prince should live forever, the butcher should neither live nor die, and the devotee, the bhakta, he said, may you live or die. And the idea behind that one was the purport to the may you live or die. He's already achieved the goal. The devotee is there. He's engaged in devotional service to Krishna, and it doesn't matter whether he lives or dies because he's already at the destination. He's reached the goal. Okay, so there may be some devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement who are in that category. I don't know that because I don't know hardly anything, but I wouldn't doubt that there are some devotees who are in that category who have already reached the goal. But anyway, getting back to this idea here of those of us who are still on the path or traversing, you know, trying to make that trek back home, back to Godhead, yeah, that we have this knowledge, so we're not bewildered. And Prabhupada talks about here, but the people who don't have this knowledge, and we're, you know, getting today's verse, the people who don't understand about this philosophy of the eternality of the soul and the position of Krishna, Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, living beings are always dependent, and the ultimate dependable object is the Lord Himself. We may therefore invent by our advancement material knowledge all sorts of counteracting material resources, but without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. So in other words, people who don't understand that Krishna, the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are unfortunately doomed to experience what's being described here. Everything, it's going to end in fiasco. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. And Krishna states that very clearly in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, starting with verse 11. He says, Avajananti mamudha manushim tanamashrita padam bhava majanato mamabhuta maheshwaram. Did I get it right? That fools deride me when I descend in this human form. They think that I'm an ordinary human being. You know, but they don't know my transcendental nature, which is changeless and supreme. They just think I'm an ordinary human being. See? So then in the next verse, 9:12, Krishna explains what the consequences of thinking like that are. There is a result of thinking like that. You know, so he says, okay, they don't know that. And then 12 goes, moga sham moga karmano moga jnana vacheta saha Raksaksim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shrita. And the translation goes, those who are thus bewildered. See, that's referring to the previous verse. What's the bewilderment? The bewilderment is they think Krishna is an ordinary human being. See, so those who are thus bewildered, thinking like that, it says here about them, it says, they are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. That's the consequence. Is you don't want to recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, you can do that. You have that free will. But the result's going to be that in that delusion, you're going to be attracted to demoniac and atheistic views. Okay, and then there's a further consequence that's stated in the next sentence. Is in that deluded condition, what goes on? Their hopes for liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. That's Krishna's opinion. See? So if you're not going to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's okay, you can do that if you want. But you got to understand, this is what you're looking forward to. You're looking forward to having your hopes for liberation, your fruit of activities, and your culture of knowledge are all going to be defeated. Which is just another way of saying what Prabhupada's saying here in today's purport, which is that, you know, those who, but without being guided by the Lord, all such inventions end in fiasco, however strong and stout the reactionary elements may be. See, so another, however materially together the non-devotees may be in terms of their fruit of activities, in terms of their cultivation of knowledge, because they're not attempting liberation these days, but it's destined to fail because they're in a deluded condition, right? And so that you know, very important thing to remember, and as Prabhupada's bringing it up in today's purport. But on the other flip side of the coin is those who recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're looking forward to a different result. And that's described in the very next verse in the same chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam parta daivim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananyamanaso gyatva bhutadimavya. He said, those who are not deluded, knows those who accept me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those great souls, they're daivim prakritim ashrita. They're fully under the protection of the Daivi Prakriti, the internal potency of the Lord, the energy which gives you the intelligence to understand who you are, who Krishna is, what your eternal relationship is with him, and how to favorably engage in his service. You see, you're under the protection of that Daivi Prakriti, which is actually Radharani. In the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada says that Daivi Prakriti is Radharani. So you're under the protection of Radharani, and the result will be you'll be fully engaged in devotional service because you know Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible, right? And what will be your activity, or what is the activity of people in that category? Next verse, satatam kirtayantamam yatantas cha dridavritaha namasyantas cha mam bhakcha nitya yuktu pashate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me in devotion. That you engage in devotional service, and the specific qualification of the devotional service is always satatam is given by that word satatam kirtayantama, always. It's we're in this for the long haul. It's not a few minutes like Prabhupada would sometimes say in criticism of people who do meditation. They do 10, 15 minutes meditation, they go out and smoke a cigarette, something like that. It's not like that. You know, this is something that we're committed to. We want to be doing this pretty much all day, every day, for the rest of our existence. We have to try to follow in the footsteps of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages of Naimisharanya has set a very good example for us. They got together back in the beginning of the Kali Yuga, and they decided they were going to perform a sacrifice for the benefit of all the conditioned souls. And they went to Naimisharanya. Sacrifices performed there were supposed to curtail the influence of the activities of the demoniac people, and they set out to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice. And that's what that sacrifice was. Is mentioned in case, you know, we just read it recently, but our memories, Kali Yuga memories are short, but it wasn't that they were just, you know, offering oblations to the fire. That was, they might have been doing that, but this is the actual nature of that sacrifice is described in the 21st text of the first chapter. It says, knowing well that the age of Kali had already begun, we are assembled here, sages of Namacharana, in this holy place. This is Shonaka Rishi speaking at this point. And he's addressing Suta Goswami, who they're hoping will enlighten them, who heard the Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami when he was reciting it to Maharaj Prickett. So Shonaka Rishi is saying, so we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at length, great length, the transcendental message of Godhead, and in this way perform sacrifice. So that's how they're going to perform sacrifice. They're going to hear at great length. That was their program, to hear at great length. That was the sacrifice. See, that's important to recognize. That is the sacrifice for this age, to hear at great length. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, the sage of Naimisharanya began this process in a place meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord. They prepared themselves to hear the pastimes of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years. That's serious hearing. That's hearing. That's what you call hearing. By the example of these sages, by the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time, for they do not give any tangible results. Of course, that doesn't mean chanting Hare Krishna is part of this. It's chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Bhagavatam, same thing. You know, it's hearing and chanting. Prabhupada actually makes that point in the purport to text 4, the last paragraph. He says, in this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons may take advantage of his teachings in order to bring about peace and prosperity. Here it comes. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose. So it's in the same category. So we have to follow in the footsteps of these sages of Naimisharanya, and that's the journey. You know, that's the journey. If we do like that, just accepting this, following in the footsteps of Queen Kunti, accepting Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, seriously hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and engaging in the, you know, Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement, we're rapidly heading from Pradu Bay to Ushuaia. I can't even pronounce it. You know, we're making the journey back home, back to Godhead. We're making rapid progress. And if we make it in this lifetime, great. And if we have to take more than one lifetime, it's okay. You know, that's Lord Chaitanya prayed. He said, Nadanam na janama sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir hoitakitwai, that I have no desire to accumulate wealth. I don't desire beautiful women. I don't want any number of followers. I only want to be engaged in Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. Well, he was Lord Chaitanya. I only want to be engaged in devotional service, birth after birth. See? So, you know, devotees really, that's the pure devotee. Is concerned like that. That's how he's really thinking like that. He's not even thinking about achieving some sort of liberation. One of five kinds of liberation. One is rejected. Sayuja Mukti is completely rejected by the devotee. But the other four are theoretically speaking, they're acceptable. But the Prabhupada, many occasions, would say that the pure devotee even rejects those forms of liberation. His only desire is just to be favorably engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So. Anyway, I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yeah, Archdeep. Okay, we're getting a request for a working microphone. Let's start there. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, Archit Bhu asked the question, why is it that when we translate that verse, we leave out the kavitam, which refers to becoming a learned scholar? Well, my answer to... We don't want to be glorified. My answer to that would be that most places where Prabhupada translates it, He doesn't include that. We don't see it as part of Prabhupada's translations. Prabhupada usually just focused on those first three things. You know, no wealth, no women, no followers. I've heard the Kavitam part come in when... I can't remember if it was translated by Prabhupada or by somebody else in reference to the Sundarini, a beautiful and poetic wife. You know, that was, it was kind of, that those two were coupled together, that, you know, I'm not desiring a wife who's beautiful and poetic, you know, but I guess maybe it could be, the Kavitam could be taken in isolation, but generally speaking, the answer to the question, Prabhupada, just for some reason when he translated it, mostly he didn't include that. He just kind of focused on wealth, women, followers, like that, and he didn't include that as part of his translation most times. Yeah. Okay, anybody else have any questions or comments? Yeah. Srimati Mahotsav.
Oh, thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. It was wonderful. Thank you. There was, you were talking about a pair of shoes and changing of the bodies, and people seem like that's fantastical, but in the classroom we're watching a documentary about these bugs, and they change their body right in front of the camera, where they go from like a larva, and then they become a butterfly or something like that, and you see their old body right there and their new body there and flying away like that. So it's really amazing how it's like reincarnation happening right in front of you,
right,
the change
your eyes.
Of a body. Yeah,
John. Okay, thank you very much. Gantra Shima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
happens on her back, you might be
You were laughing at my kitchen table. Look at that. Aren't they beautiful?